Well, good morning again. My name is Matt Pardee, and so thankful to be with you again. Just saying hello from the H2O churches and the H2O network. We are so blessed that you guys have been such a generous partner of H2O and the H2O network over the years. And we're just really celebrating. Even just this last month, we had a week of celebration at our church where we sent out our 11th church plant. And so we are planting H2Os all over the Midwest to college campuses to try to bring the good news of Jesus to the college campuses. And we couldn't do that without partners like you praying for us and helping us. And so we're just really thankful. I spend about half of my time pastoring at H2O Bowling Green with some other pastors. And the other half of my time is helping the pastors in the network that we've grown to. And so again, we're really grateful for you on behalf of Mary Lynn, my wife, and our three teenagers. Thank you so much for being behind us and your prayers. We really appreciate it. You can imagine on the college campuses today, probably not much unlike the rest of the world, they're in very much need of wisdom, especially in this day and age where the term common sense has kind of lost its meaning, right? When we say common sense, we kind of all understand now there really is no common sense. Everybody has their own definition of common sense. And so recently we wanted to just share with our students about the importance of wisdom coming from God's word and not coming from the world. And so we were doing a series on Proverbs, and I don't want to share one of those messages with you today because it's just so relevant and it's so important. Regardless of our age, regardless of our stage in life, we are needy of the wisdom that comes from God's word. And today we're going to be in this passage. The reading for today is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." We just sang this song, Trust and Obey, and how important it is for us to always be trusting and obeying in the Lord. And I wanted to share that with you today. I'll break this passage into three parts and highlight some parts in that. First of all, just talking about this word wisdom, the definition of that is this kind of applied knowledge. We know that God wants us to think and He wants us to make good choices with our mind. And the world talks about how important knowledge is and getting degrees and reading books. But wisdom is such more important than knowledge. For example, one person said, knowledge tells us, intellectualism tells us that the tomato is a fruit. Have you heard that before? It's not a vegetable, but science tells us that the tomato is a fruit. Wisdom tells us not to put that in a fruit salad, right? It's this applied knowledge of the real life and how things apply to our relevant life that God is really concerned about. Putting the Word of God into practice into our lives. So this first part of this passage tells us this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want to emphasize that word all. That God wants us to come to Him with this trust. And it is so important at all seasons of life to come before Him on a Sunday like this, or in the middle of the week, whenever it might be, and just say, God, am I trusting You with all of my heart? God, am I walking in a trust with You in every aspect of my life? God doesn't just want us to trust Him in certain parts of our lives. Some of those areas of life might be easy for you to trust God, but then we all know that we have these different areas of life, and it's personal to each one of us, where it's difficult to trust God. And we have God, through His Spirit, ask us these deep questions that resonate in our hearts. Do I trust God with every part of my life? You know, maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your children. I know that's a big one for me. The worry that can come with, how are my children going to grow up? Are they going to love the Lord? Who are they going to marry? We can worry about our children and how they're going to turn out. And God wants us to trust with that. Certain health things, certain things to do with our bodies, submitting all these things to God, trusting Him with even our sexuality, all the different relationships. Do we have unforgiveness in our life? Every aspect of life, God wants us to trust Him. You know, this word trust and the word all are so important because they're the very foundation of the gospel. If we just go back to the very essence of the gospel in coming to Jesus, we have to trust Him. We have to believe Him. Jesus said this in John 5, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, kind of that intellectual part, and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Jesus was sharing these words with people, and He said, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Don't just hear the gospel, but we have to believe it, right? We have to trust Him and receive it and say, those things that You did for me on the cross, Jesus, to forgive mankind of their sin, I personally have to believe that. I have to trust You for the forgiveness of sins. And that's the most important decision in our lives. Because at that moment of trust and that moment of faith and belief, the Bible says we cross from death to life. And Jesus tells us, if you can trust me with the biggest thing in your life, your eternity, your eternal salvation, surely we can trust Him with all other areas of our lives. And I know when I hear that, I think, yeah, I want to trust Jesus. I'm sure you're sitting here today because you think, yeah, I want to trust the Lord. But why is it so difficult for us to do that? Well, it goes on to the next part, the contrast. What does the next part of this verse say? And lean not on your own understanding. And lean not on your own understanding. And in all my 3 decades of ministry, I don't know that I've ever seen a year, maybe you'd agree with me, where people were so tempted to just lean on their own understanding. To be so attached to their own opinions, their own emotions, their own desires, their own wants. This is a big temptation for every one of us. To put the Word of God or to put God's desire in the back seat and say, well, this is how I feel. This is my opinion. And I will fight other people because this is my understanding. And surely if you don't understand my understanding, you're in the wrong. I know I experienced that this year. I know it led to my own frustration and my own discouragement. And this passage spoke to me to remind me to base my opinions on God's word and just let everything else be a preference. You know, this is a big deal with college students. This is a really big issue with all people, but especially young people, because they want to look for capital T truth inside themselves. This is a very prevalent thing on the college campus where their own opinions, their own emotions, their own feelings, their own desires to be happy, and their own opinions and just desires to be, you know, in a good place lead them to bad places. They want to look inside first before they look to God's word. Went to this conference recently and was listening to this guy named Trevin Wax. He wrote this book called Rethinking Yourselves. And it's a really great book because he talks about how many people in our culture, especially our young people, they have truth all backwards. They want to self-identify with just how they feel. They want to base their opinions and their truth and their trajectory on life on just their emotions. And so they will first look to themselves to define themselves. Now, we know from Scripture that we need to look to God to define who we are. And so they do these 3 things. They look inside and they kind of come up with the definition of who they think they should be and their perception of the world. Then secondly, they go out into the culture or into the community and they find people that agree with them. They look for affirmation from other people. Oh, you don't believe how I feel is right? Well, I don't want you in my life. I'm going to go find people that agree with me because you make me feel better about my own emotions. That's step 2. And then step 3, they want to sprinkle a little spirituality into it. So they go to God and they say, well, I just want God to rubber stamp what I feel and what my friends feel, and we'll call that spiritual. And Trevin Wax says this quote, the look-in approach to life isn't opposed to spirituality. It borrows spiritual practices that help you get better at looking inside your heart. People often sense the need to get in touch with their spiritual side, and so after they've looked in to discover who they are, and after they've looked around to gain support and approval from others, they look up to a higher power to provide a spiritual dimension to life. Isn't that so true? Does that describe our culture? Maybe it's convicting, because maybe we feel in our own lives maybe some of that happening to us. I feel this way, and everyone around me is telling me to just follow my heart. Well, God tells us our heart isn't always right, right? Our heart can be in a bad place. And so we need to reverse this whole thing where we look to God first to define us. We agree with Him, and then we go out and we find godly people who believe in God's word, and we get their input and reproof and encouragement. It's so hard to do that because it might go against what we desire and what we want. It's really hard for any of us to confess that maybe our opinions and our desires aren't what God wants. And I'm no different from you. We all have things that we need to surrender to the will of God. As we were just singing that song, we want to trust and obey. And we know that that's not always an easy thing. We don't want to just sing that on a Sunday morning. We actually want to live it out, that there's some times where we're going on a trajectory that is not what God wants for each of us, and we need to trust Him and go against our own feelings to obey God. It's so difficult to say to God, I might not be in the right place. I might be experiencing, you know, some kind of temptation. Maybe I have some kind of unforgiveness. Maybe I'm just really overly self-dependent and I just want control in my life. And it's taking me to a bad place. Recently, I took a wrong turn on an interstate and was going in the wrong direction. Have you ever stopped by on a, you know, on a long trip to maybe the Speedway to get gas, cup of coffee, or go to the bathroom? And when you're getting back on, you really need to pay attention. Am I going 70 east? Am I going 70 west? Am I going 75 north or south? Those signs are very important, aren't they? Have any of you ever turned onto the wrong ramp? And you're like, darn, I have to go to the next exit in the wrong direction to turn around. That's a humbling experience, isn't it? Spiritually speaking, we could be on the wrong entrance ramp, going on the wrong in the wrong direction in some area of our lives. And if our wife isn't there to nudge us and say, hey, you need directions? You know, you're going in the wrong direction. That's on us. We have to own that we're going the wrong way, and it's very humiliating at times. Martin Lloyd-Jones is a Welsh Protestant minister and doctor from the 20th century, and he said many wise things, but he said this: you will never make yourself feel that you're a sinner, because there's a mechanism inside of you as a result of sin that will always be defending you against every accusation. We are all on very good terms with ourselves. There's only one way to know that we're sinners, and that is to have a dim, glimmering conception of God. And what he's saying here is so true. Just because of the very sin inside of us, we have this mechanism that's defensive. And when my wife comes and she says, you know, you seem a little harsh these days. You seem a little out of the spirit. My first inclination is to be defensive, to defend myself or to make an excuse. And it takes humility. It takes an experience with God to say, man, maybe I'm not doing that well. Maybe I'm frustrated. My wife will tell me, you know, we have this good understanding in our relationship that she can make these personal comments. And often she'll say, your face doesn't look right now. You know, and I try not to be too offended by that. You know, I don't like your face. And what she's saying is she doesn't like my countenance. And usually when my heart isn't well, it will show up in my countenance. As I mentioned, I have 3 teenagers now, and one of the detriments of teaching your kids the Bible is they will turn it on you sometimes and challenge you and say, hey, Dad, you know, you don't seem like you're talking correctly right now? Or you, should you really be doing that? Should you be doing this? And I say, how dare you? How dare you challenge me? No, I don't say that. I receive that and say, thank you for pointing me back to God. We need those people in our lives so that we can say, I'm on the wrong track. I need to say I'm sorry. I need forgiveness in my life. You know, I mentioned about taking that wrong turn. And you know why it's hard to turn around sometimes? Is sometimes that wrong turn is much worse than we want to admit. And when I just mentioned to you that I took that wrong turn, you think, okay, yeah, no big deal. You just turn around. Well, recently I was on a trip to Nashville, Tennessee for a conference. And the three other men that were in this car with me going to this conference, we were just engaged in really great conversation. And if you know when you're going down 75 South and you get below Cincinnati, there's a fork in the road that's very important that you go to the west to go to Nashville. Well, I missed that exit and continued on 75 South because I thought, hey, I'm going south. 3 hours later, we ended up in Knoxville, Tennessee. It was humiliating. It was so awkward. I was so angry. I had all these emotions inside of me because this crashing realization of I turned a 7-hour trip into a 10-hour trip. I went to Knoxville and not Nashville. And I wanted to blame it on the guys in the car, like, hey, why didn't you tell me where we were? Why didn't you? And I did it. I didn't say that. I owned it because I was driving. I took us in the wrong direction. And again, all those negative emotions were there of embarrassment. How could this even happen? You know, maybe we should just give up. Maybe we should just get a hotel in Knoxville and give up. But you know, the guys in the car, they were so gracious. They were so compassionate. They were so gentle. And they said, you know what? We're having a great time on this journey. Yeah, we're in the wrong place, but let's continue on the drive and just go to where we were supposed to be. Spiritually speaking, this is what God wants to do in our lives. Here's the last part of the passage for today. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Another version of that says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You see, God is trying to take us to a good place, the place that we're supposed to be, that represents our potential and our destiny and all the wonderful things that God wants to do through our lives. But we take this detour, and sometimes we don't want to go where God wants us to go. We don't want to go on this straight path. Because we're selfish, or we're sinful, or we just messed up and we didn't even know it. And the shame can come, and the embarrassment can come, and we can want to blame other people, but we have to come to a realization that we are in Knoxville, and we were supposed to be in Nashville. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, I've got some big problems in my life. I've got some sins in my life. I see some things in the mirror that do not represent the character of God represented in the fruits of the Spirit of Galatians 5. And I really need to change my trajectory. And you know what you'll find? Just like those men in the car were this glimpse of who God is, you're going to find compassion. You're going to find forgiveness. You're going to find God saying to you things like, no, let's just continue on the journey so that I can take you to the place that you need to go. But you need to realize and you need to verbalize, I'm not where I need to be. Psalm 119, 105 says, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. And God wants us to have these encounters with Him where we trust Him, where we're not leaning on our own understanding that's taken us to bad places, but we're acknowledging Him and submitting to Him so that He can take us to the right place. As you're pondering this in your heart today, I just encourage you to reflect on that this week. Are you trusting God with everything in your life? And in certain areas of your life, if you are, praise God for that. Praise Him that He's taken you to good places, that His Word has directed you. And we can celebrate that. But I imagine every one of us has these things in our lives where we've taken a wrong turn. And we just have the cruise control set, right? I love cruise control. I just want to peacefully sip my coffee with my cruise control and go. But maybe we're not going in the right direction, and God needs to take the wheel and change where we're going. And that takes trust, and that takes obedience. And we can't just live the life that we think we should live and lean on our own understanding, but we need to trust Him and confess to Him and experience the forgiveness of God, because none of us are at the destination of where we're intended yet. We're on the sanctification process to be more like Christ. And He's inviting us and welcoming us to confess our sins to Him, to trust and obey Him, so that He can bring us to glorious places. Let's pray for that this morning. Lord, we thank You for this passage in Proverbs. It's so encouraging, yet so challenging, Lord, to trust in You with every area of our lives. God, as You speak to us through Your Word today, Lord, if there is any area of our lives that is not submitted to You, that we're holding on to so tightly and we're just so reluctant to surrender to You, oh Lord, would You give us Your mercy? Give us Your insight today, that we would not just depend on our own knowledge and our own understanding, but we would turn. We would let You bring light to our path and confess those things to You so that You might bring us to the place that You want us. Lord, thank You that You're so forgiving. Thank You that You're so gracious. Thank You that You're a good Father to us that only has our best in mind. And so, Lord, we ask for Your mercy and Your grace to go to the places that You want. Lord, we thank You that You're welcoming us with open arms, regardless of where we are or how far off path we are. Lord, You're always welcoming us back with open arms, and we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Matt. Now is the time when we can offer our expressions of praise, our trust, and even our thanksgiving to our God through our offerings. If the ushers would please come forward. Lord, our Father, we thank you so much for the bounty that you have provided with us. We thank you for the loving hearts that are sharing this back. We pray that you would bless this offering, make it truly fruitful to bring your kingdom to full fruition. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers and loving us so well. In Jesus' name, amen. Closing hymn is number 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Rather than leaning on our own understanding.
Speaks to you this week and encourages you to just get more and more into